Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. We're asking ourselves questions, questions like, how can I become a reflection of God's love to this world? How can I become light in this present darkness? How can I become a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom? Not someday, but today and every day. And that is what this show is all about. Today we are hearing from the Gospel of John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace. His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, zeal for your house will consume me. At this, the Jews answered and said to him, what sign can you show us for doing this? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews said, this temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all. He did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show?
Welcome back to Daily Living. Today we are considering a gospel that I think just about everyone knows, the cleansing of the temple. And I have to say, right out of the gate, this gospel, more than most, it could be the most confusing of all the gospels. Because Jesus gets angry. And I'm not talking a little angry, I'm talking real angry. In fact, it's clearly the angriest that we see him in all the gospels. I can't even think of a close second. Not that there were not times of great frustration, even times of irritation, but this is different. He's angry, and he makes a whip of cords, and he spills over the money changer tables, drives them out, drives out the sheep, the oxen, tells all the people who are selling doves to get out. I mean, can you imagine? This does not line up with the Jesus that I know. So the question is why? Why all of a sudden this contempt for the temple and the marketplace? Because my friends, this is nothing new. Jesus has been coming to this temple for years, and this is the way they've always done it. In fact, if you recall, when Jesus was a baby, Joseph and Mary brought him to the temple for the presentation. With what? 2 turtle doves. Why? To sacrifice. Why? Because that's what they do. Now all of a sudden, Jesus is very angry about it. So it seems a bit odd. Of course, theologians have wrestled with this for centuries. Our gospel today appears in all three of the synoptic gospels, but they put it at the end of the ministry of Jesus. Well, right at the end, right after his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But today we're in the Gospel of John. And like I've said many, many times, the Gospel of John is different. It's very different. And one of the many ways that John is different is that he seems to be less interested in when things happen and much more interested in why things happen. Or to put an even finer point on it, how can we apply it into our daily living? So John places the cleansing not near the end of his ministry, but rather right in the beginning, immediately following the wedding at Cana, which I love that gospel. And this has caused great confusion among the smart people who study this kind of thing, causing some to speculate, well, maybe there were two cleansings of the temple. And I suppose that's possible. But I'm thinking it really probably gets back to John's motivations. Namely, he seems to be pursuing theological confession over chronological precision. But either way, today we're considering the cleansing of the temple, and regardless as to when it happened or how many times it happened, what does it mean to us? And how can we apply this into our daily living? Cleansing of the temple. Where to even start? Well, let's start with the temple. The temple was the foundational place of Judaism. It was the center of Judaism. And throughout history, there have been three temples. The first temple was constructed in 1000 BC by King Solomon. That would be King David's son. And it was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586. Now, the second temple was rebuilt, and there seems to be some confusion as to when. Some will say as early as 516. Others put it as late as 350. But one thing they can all agree on is this second temple was not nearly as impressive as the first one. It was short and stocky, really more like a fort, and it did not live up to the grandeur of King Solomon's temple. But then came King Herod. And even though Herod was a psychopathic killer, even bad people have good qualities. And one of Herod's good qualities was his affinity for architecture. He loved to build things. And King Herod became one of the great builders of the ancient world. And he began to build the temple that we find Jesus standing in today around 20 BC. It took 46 years to build, only to be burned to the ground by the Romans in 70 AD. But at this point, it is truly one of the magnificent wonders of the ancient world and a source of great pride for any practicing devout Jew of that day. Now, the temple was built in concentric rings. And the further you got into the middle, the more exclusive those rings or courts became. So the outside court, which would obviously be the largest court, was called the Gentile court. And this is where they put the collection basket, because you might not be important, but we will take your money. Now, of course, they weren't baskets. They were large brass horns with a small opening on the top, dropping down to a wider horn on the bottom. So as you dropped in coins, they made a rattling sound as they went down. The more coins, the louder the rattle. This is all by design. I think there were 12 brass horns situated throughout the Gentile court. Like I said, anybody could go there. And this is where Jesus would often teach. And this is where our gospel takes place today. Now, the next court in from the Gentile court is reserved for only observant Jews. And then the next court inside of that, only Jewish men. And then the next court inside of that, only for clergy. And the next court inside of that, only for clergy on duty, and then finally the center, the Holy of Holies. This is where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, and this is where God lived. It took almost a year and a half just to build the Holy of Holies. A massive room divided by a huge, thick curtain, 20 feet high, 8 inches thick. And nobody but the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, and he did it only one time a year, on the Day of Atonement, also known as Yom Kippur. So when the high priest would go in, they would tie a rope around his waist so just in case he died at the sight of God, they could drag him out. Because, of course, remember, nobody can go in there but the high priest. So, like I said, the temple was the center of Judaism. And all festivals and feasts were held at the temple. And every righteous Jew was required to make a journey once a year to the temple. But if you're truly devout, you can go as many as 12 times a year. Part of temple worship sacrifice included animal sacrifice. You can read all about it in Leviticus. Every practicing Jew was required to make a sacrifice of an animal to atone for their sins before God at the temple. And this required either a male bull or a sheep or a goat to be burnt. But if you were poor and couldn't afford that, two doves would suffice. Now, the biggest Jewish feast was, and continues to be today, Passover. So when Passover rolled around, everybody came. Everybody was in town. Every hotel was full. Every closet was occupied. And the holy city was packed to the gills, with tent cities appearing in the countryside surrounding the city. And this is when Jesus enters into the temple and loses his mind. Why? Well, you know, I'm reminded of an old fable that I think might capture the mood of what Jesus was feeling. Once upon a time, the water of life wished to make itself known. So it bubbled up as an artesian well and flowed without effort or limit. And people from all over would come to drink the magic water. They were nourished by it. They were healed by it. They were refreshed by it. But mankind was not content to leave things in its pure state. So gradually, they started to charge admission to the well. And in time, hotels and restaurants began to spring up around the well to serve visitors. And in time, laws were drawn up as to who could go to the well and when they could come. And then in time, they built a fence around the well and put locks on the gate. And the well became the property of the powerful and the elite. And the water became angry and offended and stopped flowing and began to bubble up in another place. But the people who owned the property of that first well were so engrossed in their power systems and ownership that they didn't even notice that the water had vanished. And they continued to sell tickets to non-existent water. And almost nobody even noticed that the true power was gone. But a few did. And with great courage, those few sought out and found the new artesian well. But then again, in time, that well also came under the control of the rich and powerful. And the whole process started again. My friends, this has been going on since the dawn of time. And I believe that that is what is upsetting Jesus so much today as he walks into the temple, a temple that very much like that artesian well had been taken over and controlled by the rich and powerful. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk about this gospel here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show?
Welcome back to Daily Living. Today we're talking about the cleansing of the temple. And I want you to try to put yourself into the scene. Imagine you are coming into the temple. You've never been there before. And let's just say, for discussion's sake, that you are not a practicing Jew, but you are authentically seeking God. You have come to investigate. And as you enter into the Gentile court, the place that can accommodate probably 1,000 people, it's just rocking. I mean, I'm talking cows, sheep, trinkets, souvenirs, popcorn, cotton candy. I mean, it's like the Iowa State Fair. People just milling all over the place, buying and selling all kinds of things. Now, in regards to commerce in the ancient world, never forget, this is an occupied land. That means that Rome controls everything, including, of course, the economy. So everything is bought and sold with Roman currency, which, as we've talked about before, is principally the denarius, or the denarii, which is a silver coin that has an image of Caesar on the front, and then the inscription on the coin that says, Tiberius Caesar, son of God, which, as you might imagine, would be a bit of a problem for the Jews, especially when it came to the temple. So as a result, this blasphemous denarii was banned from the temple grounds. You couldn't even have it in your pocket, which presented a problem. How are all these pilgrims that are coming from all over going to spend their money? Aha! This is where the money changers come in. They're situated right outside the Gentile court. First thing, as you came in, you could give them your unholy, blasphemous denarii, and they would exchange it for their holy temple shekel. Of course, with a considerable markup, and that money went into the pockets of the Pharisees that are running the temple with a kickback to well-placed friends back in Rome. It's all a well-oiled machine, much like that artesian well. It had been hijacked and controlled by the rich and powerful. And this is what makes Jesus so angry. His disciples recall the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house consumes me." That is the 69th Psalm, where we read, "I'm a foreigner to my own family, a stranger to my mother's children, for zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those that fall on you fall on me." The root Hebrew word here is zeal, for zeal, and that describes boiling liquid, like molten metal. Applied to a person, this would mean somebody that is really, really burning with anger. Consumed, literally devoured with anger. And that is where we find Jesus. And what is he devoured by? Well, according to the 69th Psalm, he's devoured by the insult to his father. Why? Because the temple had become a place of business. And as I said, very much like the artesian well, was being manipulated by the rich and powerful, who are putting up barriers to keep people who are seeking God out. And this made Jesus furious. I imagine it continues to upset him today. But if I was there, I would find this very confusing. I mean, think about it. Imagine you're there, okay, and you're just selling doves. You're trying to make a living. And then all of a sudden, this crazy Nazarene
shows up, starts throwing chairs around and throwing everybody out. I mean, I imagine you'd be thinking, hey, I don't get it. We are performing a service here. Everyone knows you can't bring a denarius in here. You got to have a shekel. How are people going to pay the temple tax if they can't exchange coins? We got coins coming in from Egypt. We got coins coming in from Rome and from Greece. And I know everybody thinks we're greedy, but we're just trying to make a living. And yeah, I understand it's a bit of a markup here, but we are providing a service. It's hard to travel with animals. Without us, you'd have to make all these different accommodations for yourself. So I don't understand the problem. I don't get it. By whose authority does he do these things? Does he really think he's speaking for God? This is the way we've always done it. So they confront Jesus. Who do you think you are? By what authority do you do these things? What sign can you show us for doing this? Jesus says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Oh, well, okay, now they know he's crazy. I mean, this temple took 46 years to build. He's going to raise it up in 3 days. But remember, we're in the Gospel of John, and John is highly symbolic in his writing. And the temple that John's talking about here is the temple of the body of Jesus that he would, of course, raise in 3 days. But, you know, the disciples don't understand this, and I doubt if I was there, I would have either. But they would in time. In fact, they recalled these words as prophetic. But at the time, I'm sure it was very confusing. So, what have we learned from this gospel? I mean, first of all, we've learned that Jesus got very angry because the temple, his father's house, had become a den of thieves with false teachers and the love of money literally taking over the house of God. Sadly, this continues to this day. False prophets asking for money. Send me your love offering and I will give you a blessing. I remember watching a TV evangelist interviewed not that long ago, making a case for why he needed a second private jet. And he looked at the interviewer and he said, well, if Jesus were here, he wouldn't be riding on a donkey. It's painful, really. So there's that aspect, but there's also something else going on here that's much deeper. My mind goes to a lonely well just outside of a Samaritan village called Sychar. And Jesus is talking with a woman. And the woman asks him a question, and it's a good question. She says, you people worship in the temple. We worship here on the mountain. Who's got it right? Where should I worship? And Jesus replied, woman, the time is coming. In fact, is now here. Well, you will no longer worship in the temple. You will no longer worship on this mountain, but you yourself will become the temple. Acts chapter 17. The God who made this world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? I guess what I'm trying to say is that we, in a very real sense, are the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we are living temples. So if we're the temple, let me ask you a question. If Jesus entered your temple today, would he have cause to be angry? If he was to form a cord into a whip, what would he drive out first? Are there money changer tables in your court? Something that you value above anything else? Some habitual sin lying around in your stalls? What would he find? Remember, the sellers of the doves, the money changers, they saw themselves as good people, or at least good enough. This is the way we've always done it. What about us? Do we live by that creed, good enough? as this is the way that we've always done it? Have we become comfortable with our own habitual sin? Because I can promise you this, my friend, when Jesus comes into our temple, he's not going to be comfortable with it. Let us never forget that we do serve a God of love. That is true. But we also serve a God of judgment. But the good news about the good news is that if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us. This week, I invite you, consider your temple. Take a look around. What needs to be driven out? Are you ready for the Lord of Lords to abide in the Holy of Holies that lies inside of you? My friends, when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies was ripped from top to bottom. So I guess the question becomes, if the curtain of the Holy of Holies in your temple was ripped from top to bottom, what would it reveal? What are we worshiping these days? What do we truly cherish? We are God's temple. This week, let us take a good look around our own temple and ask ourselves this. If Jesus were to show up in our temple today, what would he find? Let us be watchful. Let us be mindful. Let us be faithful. You know not the hour your Lord is coming. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin, swinging the bat of truth. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.